Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Welcome, welcome. You're at another event that is sponsored by the Voices of New Africa. I'm your host, Kokaya Jammu, in place of Prophecy, a.k.a. Yehra. And we hope everything is well, Yehra. We're glad that we were able to broadcast today. And today the topic is going to be concerning socialism. And we know that as a people, we've been trained and conditioned to have certain opinions and positions on what socialism is all about. And we want to clarify the difference between capitalism and socialism today. And we want to know if socialism is a solution for our people. We have had a number of our own historians, past historians, John Henry Clark, Amos Wilson, just to name a few. And what we want to recognize today is are the people who profess to be about the liberation of our people, has their work gone in vain? We talk about in grade school and in high school in these so-called United States of America of the founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, just to name a few, and should we listen to these people, and should we consider them our historians, our fathers, our founding fathers, or should we listen to our own historians and the ideas and concepts that they have revealed to us as a solution to our problem? So let's get right down to it. What is socialism all about, and how is it beneficial for us to even consider an economic system of socialism? Well, first we have to, as a people, understand that there's only two forms of economies that can exist in the world. One is an economy that has an elite few of people, an elite class or ruling class, that benefits from the exploitation and oppression of the masses of the people. In turn, continue to be wealthy while the masses work to build and maintain their wealth. And that form of economy is called a capitalist economy. It thrives on racism. It thrives on greed. And it thrives on the elite class basically exploiting and oppressing the masses of the people. And that's one form of economy that can exist. The other form of an economy that can exist is an economy that distributes the wealth and the resources of the land evenly throughout the masses of the people, where everyone benefits from the abundance that the earth provides for us to survive. In that aspect, we consider that being an economy that is a shared economy. It's an economy that divides the resources evenly, so that everyone can benefit. And those are the two types of economies that can exist. There are no other form of economy. You either have an elite ruling class of people maintaining and controlling the wealth and resources of the world, or you have an economy where the masses of the people control the resources and the wealth collectively. And that's called socialism. And scientific socialism is based on the idea of communalism. All of us as a community striving together to survive and live and benefit from the abundance that the earth provides us for resources. And those are the two things that we need to look at when we talk about economies. One of the things that we've talked about in the past is that when we deal with changing our conditions and our circumstances and our situation as a people here in these so-called United States of America, we have to begin to recognize that the solution requires us to change everything. Everything about this exploitative, oppressive system is to our detriment. And in order for us to change our conditions, we have to literally change this whole system and use a system that is beneficial for the masses of the people. In order to do that, we must first recognize that there is a difference between capitalism and socialism. And we have to recognize that if one system is not working for us, we have to try another system. And that system is scientific socialism. Now, when we talk about how this should come about, then we must begin to take in consideration all the things that come out of our experience in this system, our black, our new African experience in this system. And then and only then can we begin to recognize the true sense of the direction we need to go in, the true sense of what the solution to our problem is. We can never remain stuck in one spot, oblivious to the evidence that is right in front of us on why certain things must change. When we talk about these elections, some of the people in the Republican side and talk about Hillary Clinton and Barry Sanders and Barack Obama, they are trying to promote socialism. Don't be confused, people. They're not pouring socialism. What they're doing is promoting a welfare state. And what's the difference between a welfare state and socialist, scientific socialism? Well, a welfare state, we know the definition of socialism is that we divide the resources and wealth amongst the people. And we do that in a way that everyone benefits from any advancements in technology and any advancements in the economy and any advancements in the way we utilize the resources. We all become beneficiaries of any advancements, technologically, socially, so forth and so on. But in a welfare state, what your ultimate goal is to do is to make sure that the people remain in order, well, remain supportive of a capitalist system. And the way you maintain that support from the masses of the people
even though they are in direct contact with the inequalities and the massive disproportionate distribution of the resources, you have to provide them with things that will allow them not to rebel or revolt against the system. And so a welfare state, in essence, provides certain ways to meet the basic needs of the masses of the people so they won't turn against the system. And so, in essence, a welfare state will provide you with food stamps, will provide you with Section 8 housing, will provide you with medical care, will provide you with welfare. And because of that, you have, as an elite ruling class, you have cast a net that will allow the masses of people to recognize you as their sole provider. And it takes a lot for those people to turn against you because you're providing so much for them. But those are crumbs. Those are trinkets. These are the same tactics that they've used in the past, trading, giving us trinkets for our gold and our valuable resources. And now the trinkets are benefits such as welfare, Section 8, food stamps, unemployment, all of those things to keep us under the flashpoint of revolution. And so I want to hear from the callers, what is the solution to our problem? Is socialism a solution to our problem? And we have some of the brightest minds, some of the most articulate and intelligent members of our community participating in these calls on Sundays at the Voices of New Africa, and I'm glad that everyone could make it. But I'd like to hear from one of our queens, Queen Ayodele. Are you there? Queen Ayodele, are you there? She may be having some technical difficulty. Let me see if I can get with Queen Sa. Queen Sa, are you there? Sa? Queen Sa, are you there?
Hey, the Lamb Brothers, this is Sister Ayodele. Do you hear me?
Yes. Sister Ayodele, how are you? Glad you could be here. Free the land, free the land.
Free the land,
so
what do you think?
So what do you think about socialism as a solution to our problem? And is it a solution to our problem?
Well, we are living in under capitalism, imperialism, and white supremacy. And we need to ask ourselves as African people, is this the solution? Under capitalism, imperialism, and white supremacy, a whole world was conquered in the name of the wealthy, being the super wealthy, exploitation of not only the resources of a country, exploitation of man against man in the form of chattel slavery that actually launched an empire, several empires, if you really want to go back in history. So under the name of capitalism, imperialism, and white supremacy, has that been the best for the world? Not just asking about African people, because African people and third world people make up 3/4 of this whole world, really 7/8. And has that worked? How is that working for us? How is capitalism, imperialism, white supremacy working for us, our children, our children's children's children? As a matter of fact, yes, we can ask, is it working for us? Because we are the descendants of the very people that they enslaved and made work for 400 years without pay, and we built the empire for them. And this, what we see right now, the conditions under which our people live, the conditions under which we have to defend ourselves, the conditions under which we aggress upon each other, is because we have been mentally, physically, spiritually dominated for more than 400 years. So when we ask the question, is socialism working? Well, take it from a historical perspective. We were communalistic. It was working at one point in time because of transformations from matriarchy to patriarchy, and of course the development of class systems. We kind of veered away from communalism, which means that the community is responsible. We are responsible for each other. We're responsible for our health, our education, our spirituality, the way we look at the world, the way we do business. So socialism is what we would say is the opposite, the natural opposite of imperialism, capitalism, neocolonialism, white supremacy, racism. It is the natural opposite because it's more balanced. It brings our system into harmony. We look at when you really look at scientific socialism, we're not saying something that we're going back to an ancient time. We're talking about using all the resources that we have at our availability to the benefit of the community, the benefit of the nation, benefit of the world. Every country has the right to decide the mineral resources in their particular country and utilize it and do trade and development with one another, not going out and aggressing upon one another and forcing nations, forcing people to give up the natural resources and work for pennies. When you have what we call human resources, human capital, that can be put to the service of one another and done in a way in which we are harmonious with one another and the world, where we're teaching, we're living, all of our basic needs are being taken care of. Health care is being taken care of, education, because you're being educated to be of service to your people and still be prosperous, because every man according to their ability, according to their gift, put to the service. So socialism is a natural balance or a reaction to imperialism, capitalism, racism, neocolonialism. So, yes, I believe that as members of the Republic of New Africa, that is the type of government that we are seeking. It is laid out, fathers. It is to be harmonious with the land, with the people that come and decide that they want to be in the five states of the South. We will have communities. We will be looking at the energy, just everything that will keep us conscious, keep us uplifted, keep us healthy, and keep us making sure that our children's children have a legacy of work, honor, balance, all of the things that we need scientifically. And when we say scientifically, there's a science to building roads, there's a science to setting up communities, there's a science to going in to the research institutes that we will be setting up and developing an African-centered education. The spirituality will begin to evolve within our people. Technology, even we will be creating better technology, because inside of the African mind is greatness. And when it's put to the service of the race, as we have shown the world since the time we were captured and even before, that the African mind is a great mind. And it can be put to the service of humanity. But always, as Garvey says, after everything, race first. Race first. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. Excellent, excellent, excellent comment. And I like the fact that you mentioned how we would, as a people, begin to provide all the needs to our people collectively. And, you know, we talk about Nguza Saba and our forefathers, not the forefathers that they claim are the creators of this so-called United States of America, but our forefathers told us about the seven principles of blackness,
which later became known as the Nguzo Saba. And one of the principles is Ujamaa. It means cooperative economics. Literally, it means to build and maintain our own stores, our own shops, our own businesses, and the key point, and to profit from them together. And that's what we need to understand works for us as a people. And when we begin to incorporate cooperative economics, we will share the profits, the wealth, the benefits of having those entities in our communities together. We will share those benefits together. You know, one of the other principles of black, seven principles of blackness, or Nguzo Saba, is Ujamaa, which is collective work and responsibility. Because when we have our own nation, we'll be able to build and maintain our own communities together. We will make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solve them together. And that's why we have to understand that the solution to our problem is outside of the box. It's not within the confines of this United States of America. We, as a people, need to understand that when we begin this journey to have our own sovereign nation, and we do have a provisional government for the Republic of New Africa, which is the five states, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, then we must begin to realize that when we begin our own economic system, it can no longer be capitalism, because we've seen the devastation and the trauma that it's caused our people over 500 years just here in the United States. And it doesn't work for us, because we will never be the bourgeoisie, the ruling class, the elite. We will always be subjects in that system, because that system is designed for the elite ruling class to reap the benefits of the masses through exploitation and oppression. And we'll always be the bottom feeders in this system. And we will always have one or two examples that they'll allow to be propped up in front of us, giving us a belief that you can do it too. And that's just to keep us hope, our dreams alive, so we won't look at the real solution to the problem. And it has been going on for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. And we got to wake up, people, and understand that there's some intent on not teaching us our history. There's some deliberate actions that have been laid out for us to have certain concepts and beliefs about scientific socialism. There's a concerted effort for those terms to be associated with people that they have defamed, if you will. When you talk about scientific socialism, they equate it to the Europeans' communism and the leaders of communism and the negative aspects that they put on these European leaders when they were involved in this particular type of economic system. But that's not our reality. You know, we can't, it's like any other thing in life. In order for you to draw a conclusion on what your solution is, you have to take from your own black experience to develop your philosophy and ideology. You can't take from Europeans' history and experience to determine what's right for you, because the circumstances and conditions are totally different based on the evolution of things. We've been involved in the worst type of slavery, chattel slavery. No one has been involved in that particular horrendous form of slavery in the history of mankind. So we can't draw from the experience of white people to determine where we need to go and what we need to do. There's always information out there that we can learn from. But when we start making important decisions about the solution to our problem, we ultimately have to go back and draw from our experience and what we've learned from the encounters that we've had with these demons. And so we must begin to really look at the solution to our problem. And we are almost out of time, and I would like to hear from another caller. But I think what we need to do is, Sister Ayudele, can I get you to give us a solution to how we can go about implementing that change that we need to have? So Sister Ayudele, how you doing?
I am my wind, brother, through the land.
So, as always, we talk about issues in our community, but we like to always end with a solution. So how do you think we should pursue implementing the idea of scientific socialism to our people as a solution to our problem?
Always, for anyone who has questions and you know that you're not satisfied with the system, we're not trying to create a system of black people that's replacing capitalism and period. We're not saying we're going out and aggressing upon other black people, other people of color, and trying to retake people's lands and turn them into who we are. We're saying that we're trying to transform ourselves into citizens of the Republic of New Africa. We say that we say that scientific socialism is our method of governance. So let's look at some examples around the world. The biggest example for us, where African people reside, is Cuba. So let's study the system. Study how do they set up. And I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's certainly something to look at and have a discussion about. It's certainly how do they provide all their citizens with free education? How do they provide their citizens with free health care? How does the state take care of that? How does the state take care of the workers? How does the state put the resources of the land, the water, to the service of its citizens? And yet, the business is going on, industry is still going on, roads are still being built, houses are still being maintained, people are living every day. So those are the things that we would ask all citizens, all people of African descent, study the system and truly analyze the system under which we've been since the time that we've been brought here in chains. What has this system been? How has it benefited? Yes. We've made great strides. I can never take that away from our people. We've made great strides in the midst of everything we've done, but we are still an oppressed people. We're still a lack of our own self-determination because we're under an empire. We're under an empire that utilizes the strategy of capitalism, imperialism, neocolonialism, white supremacy, and racism. So I'm saying to everyone, the solution would be study the system of scientific socialism and see how more well-balanced it is to us as an African people. And I don't just mean here in America. I mean all around the third world where we live and reside. Free the land, brother.
I am, I will. Free the land. And that was an excellent comment, because I like the fact that when we draw from our own personal historical experience as a people, we can look presently
at some of the situations that will represent what the sister was explaining, Queen Ayodele was explaining, when she talked about we can't start our own sovereign nation and maintain a capitalist system, because we what ultimately would happen is that we would have our leaders of our nation exploiting and oppressing our own people. And right now, worldwide, you can see examples of that through neocolonialism that exists in a lot of our African countries, where the elite ruling class lives afar, and they allow their subjects to control their other subjects. And that when you have people that look like you that are carrying out the objectives and goals of the oppressor, then those are neo-colonialists, and they are perpetuating and maintaining that same system of capitalism, which on the bottom line has the same effect as if the ruling class was right there actively involved in oppressing the people. So we have to remind ourselves to stay clear of that, stay clear of neocolonialism, begin to implement and institute a form of an economic system that is designed to spread the wealth. And we begin by recognizing that there are two different economies that can exist in this world. One where the elite exploits and oppresses the masses to maintain the resources and the wealth, and the other is where the masses collectively benefit from the profits of their fruits and labor. And the United States, you have to understand in our history here in the United States, the essential period of time when the United States became a superpower was when they had free labor. And that free labor in a capitalist society gives them an advantage. And so they must maintain that source of free labor. Right now, we see that the stocks have gone up in the prison system. The CAA, the CCA stock has gone up 43% because they know that when Trump hits office January the 20th, that his whole campaign about getting rid of illegals, profiling people to lock them up, will increase the population in the jails. And based on their own documentation, the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and so forth and so on, those criminals lose all their privileges, not rights. They never give you rights. They can't give you rights. They lose all their privileges and are considered slaves. And they will begin to start that process of building a stronger, a better nation based on the blood, sweat, and tears of the slaves that they have incarcerated. So they're going to increase the federal prisons, they're going to increase privatization of the prisons, and they're going to increase labor by having those prisoners do all the work. We have to recognize how capitalism works. And so the sister was so eloquent about when we do have our own nation, and that will happen, it will be a situation where I am because we are, which is a representation of the first principle in Nguzu Saba, the seven principles of blackness, Umoja, unity. Because when we look at unity, we see that as a people, we must strive for and maintain unity in our family, our community, our nation, and our race. So together, let's recognize who our enemy is, recognize the system of economics we need to use to create a better world for all mankind, and
begin to focus on thinking outside of the box so we can understand what we need as a people. And I'm going to leave with this clip because I think this is very, very necessary for all of us to hear at some point. So just listen to this, and we will have an opportunity at some point next week to continue this conversation, or we can go on to another topic, but listen to this. It's about a minute.
What's your thought on Black Lives Matter?
What is it? What do you mean?
The idea was that there's this movement thinking that the rest of America didn't seem to understand that.
It just sounds weird. I don't know that you put a name on. If somebody got shot by police for a reason. I am a young, black, rich if that don't let you know that America understand Black Matter these days, I don't know what it is. That man white, he filming me. My life matter, especially to my I feel connected to a damn thing that ain't got nothing to do with me.
What are we running from? The police said they already killed enough of us. They have them street cause they don't fuck with us. They hunting us. We in a race against the racist. That's what color runs.
Then they telling y'all lies on the news. The white people smiling like everything cool. But I know people that died in that pool. I know people that died in them schools. So what is the survivor to do? Got no trailer, you gotta move. Now it's on to Texas and to
Georgia.
They tell you what they want, show you what they want you to see, but they don't let you know what's really going on. Make it look like a lot of stealing going on. All them cops and killers in my home, shaking out dead in the middle of the street.
And that's what we are dealing with. Everything that's going on in this society here in the United States is to the detriment of our people. We can talk about the economics, which we talked about today. We can talk about the law, which was slightly mentioned in this clip. We can talk about health. We can talk about education. We can talk about any of the 9 social activities that we experience in day-to-day life in this country. And we'll all conclude that we, as a people, are at the bottom end of the toting pole, and no one cares how we feel. So let us stand up for what we believe in, and that's the liberation of our people. And let us think outside of the box and do what's necessary for us to have our own nation, the Republic of New Africa. Free the land.